You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Are you going to take the lead on this, Sean? Because it is your episode, after all.
I guess I will. I don't know what I'm going to say, but yeah.
Just make it up. You always make it up. It doesn't make any difference. It's your style.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order? Ah, I see. The special it is. We will be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast, special delivery.
Well, hello and welcome to a very special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. We hope you're really hungry because this is going to be chocked right to the brim, full of goodness and all kinds of yummy stuff. My name is Sean and with me as always are...
Dan in the UK.
I'm Paul from the UK.
And how are you boys doing today?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. It's Halloween week, so we've had, the trick-and-treaters who we don't have them around to our house because we're all, crotchety old people who don't like young kids coming around to our house, bah humbug and all of that.
Those young whippersnappers.
Terrible. Come around here begging for sweets. They're not having my chocolate. Get your hands off my candy.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Paul
that's
does right. not share food.
Relatable, totally relatable. It's funny that we're bringing up kids because... this is my childhood TV shows that do not include cartoons that we'll be talking about this week. That's why I'm taking the lead on the introduction instead of sitting back and just throwing in 2 cents here and there. So I guess without much further ado, I guess I just start, eh, Paul, since you're the one who regularly does the lead.
Yeah. Get on with it. Come on.
All right, fine. I'll see what I can do here. I got a list of what I could remember of live action TV shows from when I was a kid. I've got them in somewhat of a chronological order, but not necessarily completely. And I've got the Wikipedia pages up for about 10 of these that I think you boys may not have heard of. The rest I'm just going to wing the descriptions of, and you guys can throw in your 2 cents if you know what they are and all that kind of good stuff. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, good, because yeah, here we go. All right. So the first one on my list is something called Captain Kangaroo, which ran from 1955 to 1992. Have either of you heard of this?
I have heard of this, but I think it's probably because of you mentioning it rather than me seeing it.
Ah, same. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sounds good. It ran on CBS for 29 years, and it was conceived by Bob Keeshan, who also played the title character. And Captain Kangaroo was based on a warm relationship between grandparents and children. And he played this character for about 9,000 times. And the name came from the big pockets on his coat. And in the show, he would tell stories and meet guests and indulge in silly stunts with regular characters, both humans and puppets. And that's basically all I remember about that show because, like I said, childhood TV shows, probably haven't seen it in 40 years or so.
It's a cultural reference. I mean, that I think I've heard it beyond us just talking about it and you mentioning it. Like, I think Captain Kangaroo sort of gets brought up in quite a lot of comedies as like a side reference of a character and something like that. So it sounds interesting. I would probably want to watch one of these things as well.
Don't remember anything about it. I just remember sitting there watching it, and he was an old man who did stuff. And speaking about old man who did stuff, Mr. Dress-Up from 1967 to 1996. Have you heard of Mr. Dress-Up?
No. Again, only through you talking about it.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Mr. Dressup is a Canadian children's television series starring Ernie Combs, a former understudy of Fred Rogers, and it ran on CBC from 67 to 96, and basically it aired every weekday morning. He would lead children through a series of songs and stories, arts and crafts and imagination games with the help of his puppet friends. At first it was Casey and Finnegan. Casey was a child that we don't know if it was a boy or a girl, and his or her dog Finnegan. And then when the puppeteer for Casey and Finnegan retired, it was a bunch of other random things. And it was a great show. And he had what he called a tickle trunk, because in every episode he had this red, like a chest, and it would have the costume of the day that he would dress up in and go around doing things and talking to the puppets and talking to the picture of the owl on the wall, and he would draw things, and every kid in Canada knew about this show.
Sounds a little bit like Mr. Ben over here, where we had a man who went to a costume shop and he would try on a costume, and then he would find this door in the changing room that led, which he thought was the door out, would then go through the door and would have an adventure based on whatever costume he was wearing at the time. So if he was dressed as a pirate, he would go out and be a pirate. If he was a wizard, he would go out and he would be the wizard for the day and all that. Okay. So yeah, it sounds similar to that.
It probably was pretty similar to that. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Fred Rogers' understudy, there was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which I'm sure you guys know about.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows about Mr. Rogers. That ran from 1968 to 2001.
It's a beautiful day in this.
Wow, really? I didn't realize it lasted that long. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big long time. And of course, he had his puppets and his theme song, Would You Be My Neighbor, and all that good stuff. So, actually, speaking of Mr. Dressup, they just did a documentary on Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
I have always so that's worth a watch. I watched it last week, so that was good. And of course, Mr. Rogers had his show there with Tom Hanks playing the lead role not too long ago, a few years ago. So yes, that was Mr. Rogers. Another big one that I remember as a really young kid is something called The Friendly Giant. Look up, way up, at the stroke of 10:15 a.m. from coast to coast on the CBC for better than 27 years. This meant The Friendly Giant was about to start. Its theme, Early One Morning, was written as a nostalgic ballad for the show, or for the slow pace of Britain prior to the Industrial Revolution. Similarly, in the age of fast food, faster cars, and life in the fast lane, The Friendly Giant proved to be an escape from the rat race of real life. It gave children a chance to curl up in an armchair as the Friendly Giant's guests in his castle. Along with Rusty the Rooster and Jerome the Giraffe, Friendly entertained youngsters with children's stories, songs, and music. So that doesn't really give it a good description of what it was, but basically he was this guy. He lived in a castle. He kind of wore a tunic like they do on Blake 7. And he had a rooster that was in some kind of a bag. And people would come to the castle, I think. But the best part of the thing was the theme music and the end credits, where just before the credits rolled, he would, and maybe you want to put this in as a clip if you can find Paul, where he would have some little chairs and he would say, oh, and this is a little chair for our guests to curl up in. And I can't remember exactly how it went, but that was the best part of the show, the end, when he had the little tiny furniture, and then as the credits played with some, I don't know, music of some kind, there'd be a cow jumping over the moon, and it was just, I don't know, just very nostalgically good memories of this show. They don't make shows like that anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm just, as you're describing these themes, I'm finding them on YouTube so I can put them straight into the show later on. So I'm listening to them now as you're describing them. So it's good.
No, yeah, perfect, perfect. Okay, what else have I got on the list? Well, let's say I Love Lucy. You guys must have seen that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of them, but yes, enough to know. I've seen a handful of them when I was growing up. I think it was a little bit sort of not my style of thing at the time.
Okay.
But yeah, as I've grown up, I've seen a few episodes, and I appreciate what it was. It was groundbreaking at the time, really.
It was. Ricky and Lucy ran from 1951 to 57. And of course, without Lucy, we wouldn't have Star Trek. And she with her husband, ran Desilu Studios, who actually purchased Star Trek. And that's another one on my list, which ran from 1966 to 69. We all know what Star Trek is.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kirk and Spock and the gang going on space adventures, the wagon train to the stars. Which, after cancellation, spawned an entire franchise that's still going somewhat strong today. What else have I got on the list here? Let's see. Star Trek. Oh, here we go. Gilligan's Island. Have you seen Gilligan's Island?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those ones that I've heard about so much, but I've never actually seen a single episode of Gilligan's Island.
What?
No. I know. It's one of those things that I feel like I've seen it because of the amount of times it gets referenced in all these other shows, but just never seen the actual episodes.
Oh, man. Seven castaways. They went for a 3-hour tour and they ended up on an island for 3 years from, 4 years, I guess, 1963 to 67. And every episode, there'd be a guest star coming along and the castaways thought they would get rescued. And then the person would disappear somehow. And a 3-hour tour. Greatest theme song. Well, not the greatest in the world, but one of the best. Very catchy.
It is very catchy. It's very piratey as well. It's got that sort of feel to it, the theme tune. It's obviously very maritime.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. Was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour.
That's right. 69 to 74, we had the Brady Bunch.
Ooh, yes.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up 3 very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with 3 boys of his own. They were 4 men living all together, yet they were all alone.
You guys must have seen that.
I have seen that. I still remember one episode, bizarrely, or one part of one episode, which was one of the girls was trying to learn to drive. And one of the boys decided to try and test her, or I think it was one of the boys, or maybe it was her father. In reversing the car, they had like a traffic cone with an egg on the top.
Oh.
And the idea was to try and get as close as you can without knocking the egg. And of course, she drives up to it and is fine and misses the cone. Of course, you know, one of the lads gets in and says, I'll show you how to do it. And boom, you know, knocks the cone right over.
Ah.
So, but that's the only thing I can remember, apart from the theme tune, obviously. But
yeah, okay. Well, it starred Mike and Carol Brady. There were 2 divorcees. Carol had 3 girls. Mike had 3 boys. And they lived with their housekeeper. And all of them had hair of gold like their mother. The youngest one had curls. That's part of the theme song. And what happened? I don't remember. It ran for about 5 seasons, I guess. And hilarity ensued and all kinds of good stuff.
It's another one I have never seen an episode of, but I have seen the movies when they did the parody movie. So I've sort of seen it in parody, but not actually in its original form, as it were.
Oh, you got to watch it in its original form, Dan. Well, maybe not anymore. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Don't know where I'd find it. Yeah.
Right. And do any of these things hold up? I don't know. Because it's from my childhood. It's best not to revisit them, I think. Speaking of childhood, did you watch Sesame Street?
Oh, of course.
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Started
in 2 episode. Yeah, that's right. Big Bird and Snuffleupagus and real people and puppets and little singy song parts and Bert and Ernie and all that stuff. And it started in 1969. And it's still going to this day.
Crazy.
So that's another one. What else have we got here? Oh, here we go. The Andy Griffith Show, which ran from 1960 to 68. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Heard the reference, never seen an episode.
Dan, where were you?
Yeah, what the
I know. Never seen
what did
it.
You watch when you were a kid? Oh, maybe you'll tell us on a future episode.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Oh,
yes. Okay. So the Andy Griffith Show starred Andy Griffith, obviously, and he was the sheriff of small town Mayberry, and it also starred Ron Howard as his son, and we know Ron Howard as Richard Cunningham from Happy Days, and also world-famous director.
Yeah, and really another theme tune that's very memorable and listen, what am I trying to say?
Is whistly.
Whistly, yes. You can whistle it easily, and it's a memorable theme tune.
And it also had, of course, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts, he was amazing. I don't know why, but back in the late 70s, we were living abroad, so we got a lot of American TV over there, as opposed to being in the UK, where we didn't get so much of it. And I just talked to him. I don't know why. He was on, obviously, this and a few other shows. And he had one of those faces that was unusual face, but I just, you know, just loved him. And his sense of humor and timing and faces he would make with it, you know, I just loved the guy. And so it was probably the Andy Griffith Show that I've seen him in mostly. But makes sense. I haven't heard that name for a long time. Wow.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And speaking of black and white TV shows, The Beverly Hillbillies, which ran from 1962 to 1971. Dan, have you seen The Beverly Hillbillies?
Come and listen to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is.
That was actually playing on Channel 4, so yes, they did repeat it just before the movie came out as well. So the movie I know a lot more than I do the TV show, but I do remember seeing a couple of them as well.
Okay, okay. Well, this show stars, for people who don't know, a bunch of country bumpkins who strike gold, and I think they move to L.A., and they become pain in the backsides of Mr. Drysdale, the banker, and what happens? I don't know, but... Granny lives there, and Jethro, and Ellie Mae, and they call their swimming pool their cement pond, and all kinds of fun stuff happen. Hard to remember, it's been years and years since I've seen this stuff, but definitely a lot of good memories. Let's talk about Little House on the Prairie, which ran from 74 to 83. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
yes.
This is one of my mum's favorite shows. Like this was this, there's Little House, and then there's another one as well.
The Waltons.
Yeah. Just every Sunday, that's where it was on Channel 4. We had to watch it. It was religious.
There you go.
You see, the funny thing is, Dan, you're saying, oh, Channel 4, it was always on Channel 4, it was always on Channel 4. All of these shows I never saw on Channel 4 because we didn't have Channel 4 at the time I was watching.
They had a big influx of sort of American shows to sort of fill out the network. So you had a movie in the morning and then you'd have like a TV show. So they did have I Love Lucy, and then it was I Dream of Jeannie, and then it was Bewitched. So that sort of did the morning. And then in the afternoon, you'd have something like Little House on the Prairie, or you'd have The Waltons. I can't remember. Stairway to Heaven, I think, was on there for a little while as well. There were loads of different shows.
Okay, so yeah, what can I tell you about that if you haven't seen it? It had Michael Landon as Pa, and I guess it took place in the 1800s on a farmstead. I don't remember what happened.
They all died of dysentery.
Probably, that sounds about right.
Simple tales of everyday folk.
Yeah, pretty much. They were always getting into trouble, and there was, I think, was it Ellie or Nell? No, it was Nellie. She was the bad kid who was always snitching and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's
always one, isn't it?
There's always one. Yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah, it's a classic. Ran for 9 years. Then we have The Littlest Hobo.
Yeah.
Ran from 79 to 85. Dan, have you even heard of this one?
I've heard the reference again. I think it might just be from us talking in the past, but I've never actually seen the episode, so sorry.
That's okay. I'll read you the description here on what it is. London is an extremely intelligent, wandering German shepherd who walks into a different place in each episode of this long-running series and comes upon people down on their luck or in trouble. London always befriends and helps the struggling people. Then, when his job is done at Episode 6, London declines to be the pet of the people he has helped and departs to continue his cross-country drifting. And it's got a great theme tune. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll keep moving on. Something like that anyway. And I can't sing worth a damn. But Paul puts it in here during his edit.
Oh, definitely. It'll be in there right now in the background playing. There's a voice calling me. Oh, that one, whatever that one is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. So good. And then we move on to Sanford and Son, which ran from 72 to 78. Dan?
So this is the American spin-off of Steptoe and Son, isn't it? It's the British is the Steptoe and Son, and then they moved it over to America, and it's the father and son scrapyarders, sort of junkyarders. That is it? Is that it?
That's exactly what it, I didn't know it was a spin-off or a take on something British. But yeah, it had Red Fox, the comedian, in the lead role. He was a crotchety old guy. And he was always going to have a heart attack. Lisbeth, I'm coming. And him and his son would always argue, I think.
Is the British one from the 50s or the 60s? It started really, really early. It was black and white when it first came out.
Yes, it was way back when. I'm not sure about 50s. It was probably very early 60s, but it was black and white, yeah. And they made a couple of films out of it. It was, I've not seen Sanford and Son, but yeah, I take your word for it. It does look similar, but it was based in the sort of just after the war in that sort of 50s time when there was no money. There was literally no money. People would, you know, sell scrap metal and scrap, you know, anything that they could find on the streets. They would sell it to try and make money. There was no heating. They had, you know, they would wear the gloves with no fingers and huddle around an open fire. They'd have a horse so they could draw the, you know, the cart that would have all the, you know, that they could collect all the scrap and all this type of thing. But it was basically the relationship between father and son about the son wants to be better than he is and wants to do more than he is. And if he gets a girlfriend, then the father stops him from seeing her somehow so that he could stay with him and all that type of thing. So yeah, there's some great episodes. There's one where they have a TV and they have this argument. There's this great big argument. It blows up. And they say, right, that's it. We're going to cut the house right down the middle. We're going to have half each. So they build a wall right the way down the middle of the house. I mean, the place that they're living in. And it goes right the way through the middle of the TV. And now, of course, you know, the son wants to watch the football. But unfortunately, the father's got the controls. Because of the TV's on the, you know, the controls on the side of the TV, so he's got all the volume and the channels that he can change to what he wants, and his son's going mad because he keeps changing the channels. So yeah,
why hate you? Oh, Harold, why do you have to be so mean?
Yeah. Sorry, we've derailed that for you, Sean. Sanford and Son.
Yes, Sanford and Son sounds very similar. Yep, for sure. And then we have Good Times, which ran from 74 to 79. And it was basically a poor family. I don't know if she was like a regular or if she was just guest starred, but it had a young Janet Jackson in it. It had J.J. Walker, James Olmos, not Edward James Olmos, the other James Olmos.
The other one.
Amos, I think James Amos. Anyway, that guy. And basically, it was just a poor family. I think they were living in a tenement or something. It's been so long. It was a poor little act family, anyway. And JJ was always trying to get ahead, and it was just causing more trouble than anything else. Been a long time since I've seen that. But in a similar vein, we had The Jeffersons, which ran from 75 to 85. You know the Jeffersons? Moving on up to the east side.
Heard of, but not watched.
Okay. Basically, it was... I think that might have been a spinoff of All in the Family with Archie Bunker. You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Carol O'Connor as the racist, bigoted guy, and he didn't like black people. And then I think the Jeffersons was a spinoff of that. Because All in the Family ran from 71 to 79, and then the Jeffersons was 75 to 85. So I think All in the Family actually spun off quite a few different things.
There seems to be a theme here that there's a lot of crossovers. There's either they've come from the States to here or from us to the States. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similar, you know, programs, and if not similar, then direct copies, if you like.
Yeah.
which is good to see that they went both ways, because I always saw that we seem to get a lot of American things, but that's because we see it from this side, not knowing how much went over to America. So it's good to see that some things did get over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Even the dodgy bad stuff.
And speaking of things that are similar but not quite copycats, how about a promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network?
He did it in his own episode. It's amazing.
There you go.
The only way you can make his own link. You have to wait for somebody to take a breath and go, I've got to make something up now.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Here we go. We have the Beachcombers, which ran from, I think, 1972 to 2004. Have you ever heard of the Beachcombers?
No, can't say I have. Enlighten us, Sean.
Okay. It's a Canadian comedy drama television series that ran on CBC from October 1st, 72 to December 12th, 1990, with over 350 episodes. It's one of the longest running dramatic series that ever made for Canadian English language television. It followed the life of Nick, I don't know how to say his last name, Adonitis, a Greek-Canadian log salvager in British Columbia who earned a living traveling the coastline northwest of Vancouver with his partner Jess aboard their logging tug Persephone, tracking down logs that broke away from barges and logging booms. Their chief business competitor is Relic, and now he's a character for sure, whose actual name is Stafford, a somewhat unsavory person who will occasionally go to great lengths to steal business and logs from Nick. The series also focused on a supporting cast of characters in Nick's hometown of Gibson's, centering on a cafe called Molly's Reach, run by Molly, a mother figure to virtually all the characters in the series. In addition, Molly rented out a room to Nick as living quarters and office space for a salvage business. And it goes on and on and on. And it was a great show. That I think the theme song was awesome, from what I remember. And it's a Canadian icon, really.
Yeah, it looks fairly interesting. I mean, you would think, how many episodes were there, Sean? I mean,
it's at 350.
Gee whiz.
Wow.
How do you get that many out of a guy on a boat with some logs, for goodness sake?
Right. Yeah, they were always out on the water doing things. And I don't even remember the logging aspect of it really too much at all. But I remember that Relic lived in some kind of shack, and he was a bald guy with a toque on all the time, and he was just always up to no good. That's what I remember mostly.
I love that. It's a Relic. Sounds like a Klingon or something.
Kind of. <Relic. laughs> That's it. Yeah.
Captain's log. Oh, no, not another one.
Right?
More logs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember there was a cop character, and when I worked at the call center 20 years ago, there was a guy who worked there too, and he reminded me of the cop from Beachcombers. So nobody else thought
looking it up on IMDb, it looks like they've rebooted it as a TV movie, like in 2002 as well.
Yeah, I think
it's got a pedigree to it. It's like it's carried on,
and I don't think it ran straight from 72 to 2000 and whatever, but.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Long running show, anyway. Really good. Cool. And speaking of other long running TV shows that are good, Happy Days, which ran from 1974 to 84.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are
grey sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
Wow. Also starring Ron Howard, as in the Andy Griffith Show with Ron Howard. And author Fonzarelli the Fonz. Hey.
Oh, that was, it was an amazing show.
Yeah,
it was. And it, of course, spun off a lot of stuff, too. One of the main ones that it spun off was Laverne and Shirley, which ran from 76 to 83.
Yep, watched all of them as well.
Okay, good. How about the Dukes of Hazzard from 79 to 85?
Those boys, those Duke boys.
Those Duke boys. And Roscoe Pico Train and Boss Hog. Yeah. And, of course, Deputy Anus, or Enos, or however he said his name, was in love with Daisy Duke. And they, all the Duke boys and girls were all cousins somehow. And then when there was contract breakdown, we had Coy and Vance, who were definitely not no Bo and Luke. And we had Uncle Jesse and Cooter, the mechanic. You guys watched the show, right?
Oh, yeah, only for the car. I mean, once...
Yeehaw!
It was good. It was good Saturday Night Entertainment, but I've tried to watch it again recently because you reminded me about it, and I found it somewhere. And yeah, and the first episode, there was a car chase, obviously, mm-hmm. with the General Lee, Starsky and Hutch's Gran Torino.
Yeah.
Why? What's...
Through a junkyard or something, right?
Through a junkyard.
Yeah, I bought the series about 2 years ago. Because I figured they were going to cancel it because of its racist content with the Confederate flag and whatever. And I watched three episodes, and that's all I've seen so far in 2 years since I bought the box.
It was a pretty hard watch, I must admit. I mean, even the... not because the race... Well, yeah, the racist connotations, obviously. But that wasn't the part that I was struggling with. It was just the actual show was awful.
But I remember being a kid racing home after school to watch the Dukes of Hazzard. The Dukes are on. And I always loved watching them jump their cars and trying to get away from the bad guys, which were actually the cops.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it was a strange show. I mean,
and
it worked when you're kids. Exactly. It works when you're kids, but not so much when you're adults.
Yeah. And I don't actually remember being racist. Just it was set in the South. They were the good old boys.
I don't think it was. I come from memory. I may be wrong here, but my memories of that show were not that they were racist. It's just that it was based in the South, and the Confederate flag was a bit of an issue.
Now it's troublesome, yeah. But back then it was.
But now it's weird because I literally saw, and I've shown you this picture because I showed it to you guys. But I was driving down our local motorway, and blow me right in front of me, there's the General Lee, and there's obviously a replica driving down the motorway. And I'm like, oh my god, I've got to take a picture of this. And I was videoing it and taking pictures of it. And, oh my goodness, I can't believe it was driven by a black man.
Oh no.
And he's got the Confederate flag on the top. I mean, do you not know? So yeah, weird, but it's a bizarre thing that I've ever seen. But oh, what a car. I love the car though.
Oh yeah, everybody loved that car. I wanted that car so bad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
All I've got are some dinky cars of it, but still. Okay, what else we got on my list here? Oh, Three's Company, which ran from 76 to 84. And, of course, it also had Don Knotts in a starring role as the landlord. In, uh-huh. I think, the second season after the Ropers went off and had their own spinoff show, and then it got canceled and they didn't come back. And that was a whole controversy. But, of course, it had John Ritter as Jack Tripper. And he had to pretend to be gay so he could live in the same apartment with Janet and Chrissy. Chrissy, of course, was played by Suzanne Summers, who just recently died this past month. You guys ever see it?
Right now.
Sorry, I was totally
you weren't
sidetracked there. Are we talking about Three's Company?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. No, I have seen the British version. So, I mean, you said the Ropers. My goodness, they've even used the same names. So, yes, I know exactly what it'll be about.
Okay.
But I've not seen Three's Company as such.
Okay. And of course, Jack had to pretend to be gay. And this was starting in 1976. So, of course, it was played for laughs. And he definitely wasn't gay because he would sleep with everything that he could, women-wise. And the big thing was that everybody thought Chrissy was super, super hot. But I always was partial to Janet, the demure brunette. So,
yeah.
Hilarity ensued every episode.
Oh, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Chips, which ran from 77 to 83.
That's
California Highway Patrol.
one of my wife's favorite programs because she obviously fancied the. I can't remember which one it was. Was it
Eric Estrada as Puncharelli, or was it the blonde guy?
It might have been the blonde. It might have been Eric Estrada because
he was a huge sex symbol back in the 80s.
Yeah, I think she goes more for not for blondes, as such. So maybe.
Okay. All I remember is that they rode motorcycles, and that's it.
Yep.
It's been so long since I've seen it, but I liked it, so I watched it. But I don't remember anything else about it.
Why did I watch an episode of it? I can't remember why. It might have been on TV, and I just happened to find it on the TV, and I started watching it, and my wife came in and said, "Look, so I found chips." Oh my goodness. And the episode was really bizarre. This young girl, who was obviously under the age of 16, had sort of got a crush on one of the motorbike riders. So she came to stay with him. I thought, what the hell? You can't do that. I mean, you're a policeman for a start. Well, maybe, I suppose, in those days they did, but I don't know.
It was
a very bizarre episode.
All I can remember from hearing about stuff is that Michael Dorn, who plays Worf on Star Trek The Next Generation, was either a guest star on it quite a bit, or he was like a main character. I don't know.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and another one on my list here, which, if you're following Friends of the Show, German and Steve, you might recognize The Muppet Show, which ran from 1976 to 1981. The guys from a Play on Nerds podcast network are doing Muppet Trek, where they're comparing Muppet Show episodes to Star Trek episodes, and they have a great dynamic, and they're really funny. But all I remember about The Muppet Show is that Kermit and Miss Piggy, and I had wallpaper in my room when I was a kid, and Fozzie Bear told jokes that never went anywhere, and Gonzo was always getting into trouble. That's basically what I remember about that. And Paul is just dancing away to the theme music.
We've lost Paul. He's gone.
He's gone down the rabbit hole. So I'm sure both of you have seen The Muppet Show.
Oh yeah,
many times. Yeah. And I started doing a rewatch of it with Jarman and Steve, but unfortunately over here the episodes were out of order compared to what they were watching them, and I ran out of time to try and get them the right way around. Some were missing, and obviously for various reasons. But yes, I do intend to go through them all again and watch them as best I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a great dynamic on their show. And even though I haven't watched The Muppet Show since I was a kid, I've seen all the Star Trek episodes, so I can still follow along.
Yeah,
I'd probably listen to them even.
Great. It's great to listen to them now because they give a little premise of what the show is about and you know what they thought of it. And it's a great way to. I mean, some of them I've even remembered when they've said the sketches and things that were on that particular episode. I've remembered them. And then the guest stars that they had on, I can still remember seeing quite a few of them. So it's a great podcast to listen to.
Definitely is. And going along with The Muppet Show, Fraggle Rock, which ran from 83 to 87, also done by the Jim Henson Company, and the Fraggles lived down below some dude's house. I don't remember too much other than that. Just they were puppets, and they had a lot of singing going on, and they were always trying to escape the big monster people in the backyard.
So this is where you start to lose me. 1983, I'm 18, so I wouldn't have been watching those.
What?
I've seen more Fraggle than I have Muppets, so yeah. I'm coming in
this
now.
This is the crossover.
Fraggle up. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And there was a live-action man, and he had his puppet dog named Sprocket. And Sprocket was always barking at the Fraggles, and the old man was always trying to figure out what the dog was going on about. That's the main thing I remember.
Yep. I've been to the lighthouse that was used in the filming of the show. It's here in the UK down the south bit of the country. It's actually a real lighthouse. I don't think they actually used any of the interiors, but they used the outside for the opening shots. And then you go in, and then you go into the cave of Fraggle Rock, and then they're singing, they're dancing, and then you find out what the problem of the week was. It's always a good show. I loved it.
Mm.
Like,
and of course, there was the dirty version of the song that every kid had to learn at school as well. But, you know, I'm not going to repeat that on this show.
I think you should, because I don't know it.
No, I don't know.
No, you really don't. You really don't. Down at Fraggle Rock. Now think of things that rhyme with rock.
Sock.
Spark.
Talk. Tick-tock.
Yeah, grab a Fraggle by his... Anyway, moving on.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, moving right along then. We have another classic television sitcom called Different Strokes, which ran from 78 to 86. And, of course, it starred Gary Coleman. And he, along with his brother, were two orphaned black boys who went to live with a rich old man and his daughter in some kind of huge penthouse apartment. And it spawned the phrase, "What you talking about, Willis?" Because Arnold was always getting into trouble. And it spun off a TV show with the housekeeper, Mrs. Garrett, into The Facts of Life, which ran from 79 to 88. Have you heard of The Facts of Life?
I have heard of it only because one of our podcasts on the ESO network here, the Flopcast, they did an in-depth run of it. You know, just saying about all the spin-offs that have come from that and different strokes and all that. So yeah, but again, I don't know. I've never seen it. So
okay. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, yeah. And there you have The Facts of Life. And basically, I guess it was some kind of a boarding school that Mrs. Garrett ran. Later on, it had Cloris Leachman. It also had I think George Clooney in his first role as a handyman in the later seasons. But the show, when it first started, it had a bunch of kids, and Molly Ringwald was on it. And then in the later seasons, it focused on the four girls, the main girls, Blair, the rich girl, Tootie and Natalie, and Joe, who was the bad biker chick, who I was absolutely in love with because she was the bad girl. And stuff happened, you know, like a sitcom.
Yes.
Whatever. I don't know. I don't remember. In the same era, from 83 to 89, was Webster. You ever hear Webster?
No.
Okay. It starred Emmanuel Lewis. He was a black actor, but he had a stunted growth. So he lived with this Greek couple, and the show was originally supposed to be just about the Greek couple, and they were white. And then it became Webster, and I think the couple who created the show got really mad because the show was more focused on the kid instead of them, their marriage or whatever. But it was another show that we all watched as kids. Hilarity ensued, and he was just a fun little kid. And I don't remember too much else about it, other than I think the dad was either a doctor or something to do with sports. But I'm not sure. That might have been Mr. Belvedere that I'm confused with. But Mr. Belvedere's not on the list. But you know what is on the list? The Great Space Coaster, which ran from 1981 to 86. You ever hear of The Great Space Coaster?
No.
I don't think anybody... Sounds amazing.
And looking at it on here, maybe not.
Okay, yes. it was people and puppets. And let's see, it's about three young singers, Francine, Danny, and Roy, who are brought to a habitable asteroid in space called Coasterville by a clown named Baxter, who pilots the space coaster, a roller coaster-like spaceship. The asteroid is populated by strange-looking, wise-cracking puppet characters such as Griddle Gorilla, Knock Knock the Woodpecker, Edison the Elephant, and Gary, Gary New, host of the Gary New Show. Baxter is forever on the run from M.T. Promises, a nefarious ringmaster who plans to recapture Baxter and return him to the circus he worked at before he escaped. Each episode ends with a different life lesson, and various celebrity guest stars such as Mark Hamill occasionally dropped by. So, I don't remember anything about it. just that there was the puppet. He was a great big purple puppet named M.T. Promises. And of course, M.T. was his initials, but it's M.T. Promises because he was always a big fat liar. And it was a cartoon theme tune at the beginning. And just like it said, life lessons and all kinds of good stuff.
Very good. Yeah, it does look a bit, weird.
Lots of kids, lots of singing.
That's, yeah, nightmare fuel.
Yes.
Looking at that picture. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, creepy puppets.
Wow. Yeah.
I watched it obsessively as a kid. I remember that one.
That's crazy.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. How about today's special?
And what is today's special? Is that, does it come with fries?
Yes. Soup of the day? Yes. It's a soup of the day. It's a Canadian television program. 120 episodes, which ran from 81 to 87. Much of the series was set in a department store based on Simpsons' then flagship location in Toronto. In the children's department of a major department store, each night when Jody arrives for work, she carries a mannequin named Jeff upstairs, where Muffy says, oh yeah, where Muffy, who's a mouse, lives in the wall and is a puppet, says the magic words hocus pocus elemogocus, and this brings Jeff to life. But of course, if you take his hat off, then he becomes a mannequin again.
Goodness, you were saying about nightmare fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow. Is that supposed to be a mouse?
Yes, yes. Early episodes focused on a tangible object as a subject, like hats or costumes, with the show revolving around teaching about it. And later episodes dealt with more complicated issues, such as the episode Wishes, dealing with sacrificing one thing for another. What I remember is that Jody would come in, bring Jeff in, and the mouse, who was a puppet, would say the magic words. And then there was Sam the Nightman, a security guy, who was also a puppet, but he had a real-life cat named Penelope who would sit on his computer. It was very strange. I don't remember too much else about it, but if you took Jeff's hat off, he would become a mannequin.
So. Yeah, scary. Crazy. Scary people.
Yeah. It was strange. But it was one of the first shows to have an interracial couple on it. Not that they were like a couple that were romantically involved, but Jody was a black lady and Jeff was some white dude. So that was pretty rare back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's also similar to the Polka Dot Door, which ran from 1971 to 2000. You ever hear of Polka Dot Door?
Nope.
No.
Polka Dot Door, the Polka Dot Door. Let's peep through the Polka Dot Door. Songs and stories and so much more. Through the Polka Dot Door, this is the time we always say, get ready, get set for Imagination Day. We'll tell some tales, we'll pretend and play. So come in the Polka Dot Way.
Songs and stories and so much more. Let's see what's through the polka dot door. And this basically had, let me pull it up here. Also a Canadian television children's series. It features two hosts who speak directly to the home viewing audience. And the hosts were always different every week, usually. The content of the shows was generally geared towards education and creativity. Each week of episodes focused on a single theme, with each weekday assigned to a different motif in which the theme was explored in different ways. For example, Tuesdays were dress-up day, in which the hosts would use costumes to explore the theme. One of the most well-known elements of the series was the Pokaroo, a mythical creature whose name combines the words polka dot and kangaroo. Normally played by the male host in costume, the Pokaroo would appear to the female host to perform a mime. Upon the second host's return, he would typically express disappointment when informed that he once again missed the Pokaroo. And he would always be like, oh, the Pokaroo was here and I missed him again? So it was funny. And then
I love the theme tune. That's a nice little theme tune.
You'll have to play that for our people.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. Very sort of play school-y sort of...
Actually, it does say the show itself was an adaptation of the BBC children's show Play School.
Ah, there you go.
So if you know what Play School was, you know what Polka Dot Door is.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's very similar themes. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they had the two hosts, and I think they would switch them out all the time. And then they had four stuffed animals. Humpty and Dumpty, Marigold and Bear. and they would always talk to these things. But then they also had Frida and Fennel, the fish, which were out in the backyard. I remember the names, the same thing?
Some very similar names, yes.
Okay.
Humpty Dumpty and
Frida. Humpty and Dumpty. It was two different things.
Ah,
yeah.
Humpty Dumpty was just one.
Like egg-shaped stuffed animals. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And life lessons, I guess, and different things. And it would we're going to see what's through the polka dot door. And it would the camera would pan on the door, which was full of polka dots. And then a little one of the polka dots would open up and you'd see like some kind of video of something. Apparently, I was obsessed with it when I was a kid, and I always knew when it was on, and I had to watch it or I'd scream.
Oh, yeah. It was a really good way. Like I say, life lessons. I mean, this is what Play School was very much about as well. It would teach you about the big wide world and, you know, look through the window, and they would, you know, the camera would pan into the window, and then it would fade into some sort of kids going to school, or, you know, going onto a school bus, or, you know, going into a shop to buy things, or whatever. It was, yeah, it was very much like that. So, sounds very, very similar.
I think it must have been, yeah. So. Sounds like you guys know exactly what it was. Going along with that, we have something called Just Like Mom. It's a Canadian television game show which ran from 1980 to 85. A total of 595 episodes were taped. It was hosted by Stephen Young during the first show's first season. Who cares? But basically, what I remember about this is that kids would make something like a baking thing, and their moms would have to try it. But the ingredients were outlandish and usually involved ketchup or mustard or other things that were inedible, and then the parents had to eat it. That's what I remember. Yeah, not too much else about it, but what do you see, Paul?
I'm just looking at the theme tune and the theme video on YouTube. Yeah, some of the faces that the people are pulling when they eat the food.
Oh yeah, I remember it was disgusting. And the kids thought they were great bakers.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be on the show when I was a kid.
Oh,
of course, amazing. I didn't know anything about that. And then we're coming down to the last couple on my list. There's other things I could have listed, like Growing Pains, and Who's the Boss, and Full House, and all that stuff. But that's later on in my teenager years. But the last two on the list are Magnum P.I. and MacGyver.
Oh.
Magnum starred Tom Selleck and ran from 1980 to 88, and MacGyver was 85 to 92. And although they're not anything to do with each other, they're intertwined in my mind somehow. Maybe because they both start with M, or because they were always like getting out of jams or whatever it was. Magnum, of course, had the Ferrari in Hawaii, and MacGyver never used a gun, and he was always getting out of tricky situations with bubblegum and duct tape.
I nearly sent you guys a meme today. It was Captain Picard on the bridge of the Enterprise saying, "We need to get out of this sticky situation. Give us all the power you can." Goes down to engineering, and there's MacGyver saying, "Get me some chewing gum, some sellotape, a piece of pipe."
Exactly. Yes.
MacGyver. I loved MacGyver.
Yes. So such a good show.
And I nearly started a rewatch not so long ago as well.
Oh, yeah. And they've rebooted both of these in the last bunch of years. But I couldn't even watch two episodes of MacGyver. I watched a season or so of Magnum, and that was okay. But I never bothered following it after that. You can't beat the classics.
You can't. And MacGyver's theme tune was pretty good as well. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, very good. And Magnum... theme. You got to play that because that's just so punchy and gets
exactly,
you going.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got that as well. But the I mean, it's very sort of similar to the Rockford Files, where you've got a detective, come investigator, who's sort of private investigator, obviously, and gets into jams and scrapes and gets out of them being the cheeky chappy and all this type of thing. It's driving the fast cars and those sort of things. Like, I must admit, I've not seen all of Magnum PI. I've seen a few of them, but not done a total watch of them. And I always used to like them. Mm-hmm. But I am hopefully trying to get the Rockford Files on DVD for Christmas. So hopefully that'll be good. But Magnum's definitely worth a watch. If I can drag that out of a streaming service somewhere, that'd be great.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So I don't know when childhood officially ends, because I could keep going on, because when I was 11, Star Trek The Next Generation premiered. Was I still a kid at that point? I don't know. But I was there. I watched the premiere, I remember.
I think that for sort of this sort of thing, if you say that, by the time you get to your working age, where you don't sit at home all day watching TV, or you don't sit down on a Saturday morning or whatever it is that you would normally do. So by the time, like I said, when I got to 18, I was not watching those kids programs anymore because I was at work, so I wouldn't have that time to sit down during the daytime or even in early evening, excuse me.
Okay.
So I mean, by the time you're going into your 20s and 30s, you're too old for that sort of thing.
Well, I could go on with Quantum Leap and the X-Files and all those good 90s shows, Sliders and all that stuff, but Sliders came out in 95 and I was 19 by that point, so I guess I'll shut her down here.
It might be on my list. You never know.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because we're getting into the later 90s. So Dan can take over the childhood memories. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's more that if I looked through IMDb, I could find way more things that I've completely forgotten about. But I think that's a pretty good list of the things that I watched when I was a kid.
Well, that was an amazing list, and it's got some really good stuff on there. I'm glad to say that I knew a lot of them. So you didn't come up with sort of stuff that I was too old for, well, not too much anyway. But also with it being very much a Canadian list, not so much a Canadian list, really. There is an international list to it, but there are a few Canadian things there specifically that we'd not heard of before. So that was great to hear about those shows.
Yeah, I figured nobody would have heard of Just Like Mom or Beachcombers, that's for sure. Great Space Coaster, Today's Special, Polka Dot Door. I thought those might be a little bit more esoteric or random for you.
Yes, that's right. And it's good to hear that some of those that you think, oh, well, they've never have heard of these before, but they are direct copies or very much influenced by, or maybe the other way around, UK things. So it's
I think we stole a lot of the UK things by the sounds of it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right, because obviously being Canadian and not American, you would have got more, I would have thought, from us than obviously you get the American influence, but I mean, the stuff that
BBC
we have
International would have taken things that have worked over here in the UK, and then they would have imported it over quite easily and over to Australian audiences and so on. So yeah, you'd imagine that would be part of the business project of the BBC.
That's right. Yeah. And we used to get a lot of Australian programs over here as well, so the obvious, Flipper, Skippy and all of those things, but also Flying Doctors and various other programs like that. And I know that from our Australian listeners, we get a lot of people saying that they have a lot of, obviously, a lot of British TV over there. A lot of it is British based.
Yes, so,
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember watching Doctor Who when I was a kid. The theme tune was always very creepy, and it scared my younger brother. So I loved watching the Doctor Who because it scared him away. So
it did scare me, that. Yeah, I was one of those people that literally sat behind the sofa to watch the Daleks.
I believe it.
Yeah, it was very scary. I mean, I may have been watching it in color, but it might have been black and white episodes at the time as well. So yeah, it's frightening when you see that, when they exterminate and the gun there fires and then everybody just turns white and all the effects they used for that sort of thing. It was scary for a 6, 7, 8 year old.
Oh yeah, definitely.
At the time. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that even things like Blake 7 is quite scary now and again.
Well, like I told you guys earlier, I just started watching Blake 7 because we've got BritBox, and Leah has gotten me on Keeping Up Appearances. So I figured I'd give that a go. Blake 7, you guys have talked about that. I'm 4 episodes in, and I really can't be bothered with more of it. I did watch the first episode of Red Dwarf, and oh my goodness, that was awful. But
Oh no!
To be fair, that first season is very hard to get through.
I'm finding their feet. I've just started listening to the Scuttercast, which is about 14 years old podcast about Red Dwarf. Okay. And they review the episodes. And the second one is a lot better. And I think, you have to get to some of the time travel ones and the back. What's it called? Where they go backwards. Oh, man, that's so good. There is some really good episodes. When they find the cat, you've only seen the first one. You need to
Yeah, the cat's a person right now.
Yes, that's right.
Mm. And he dances, and it's really weird.
I haven't got my photographs in this room, but I do have the photographs with the cat.
Oh, okay.
And with Rimmer.
Danny John Jules.
Nice.
Our good friend Richard from Australia told me I should watch Survivors, but it's not on BritBox, so I can't find it.
Oh, Survivors.
Mm-hmm. It's an apocalyptic show way ahead of its time, apparently.
I
need to try. Oh, it's there. I need to try.
It's There's the lady who's trying to find her son, and she goes through all the different sort of cities of the UK, and she meets up with all these other people. And it's very good, very good.
Is it? Yeah. I'll see if I can find it somehow.
I think it was cut short. It only lasted 2 seasons, I think, if I remember right.
No clue.
It was cut short pretty quickly, which is unfortunate. But again, for what they wanted to do with that show, it was a very big budget, so. Yeah, they probably just couldn't afford to keep it going.
Makes sense.
It's 1975, and yes, it's the acting and sets are almost as good as Blake 7.
Oh, geez.
It's not that time, you know, because obviously it's the sets were made then.
Well, speaking of British shows from the 70s, a few months back, I did watch a bit of Space 1999 and UFO.
Okay, so Space 1999, very psychedelic, very weird.
Yes.
You can argue which is the best season, one or two. A lot of people like one, a lot of people like two. But get to season two and you'll find Maya, the shapeshifter.
And, I wonder why Paul might recommend that.
Yes. And UFO is fabulous. The first episode is a little bit outdated in its
I got about 3 or 4 episodes into each of those about a year ago.
Episode though. Oh, the Black Triangle. It won't be the Black Triangle, something triangle. If you get to see that one, it's a bit whatever. Then you get to the end, and oh my goodness, it's the darkest thing that I have seen from Gerry Anderson. It's totally not what you'd expect. But I do like UFO is great. I do like it. There are some really good episodes in that. Stick with that. That's worth it.
All right. Okay. Well, on that note, the grease in the box is cold and our special is done. And we hope all of you out there in podcast land are full to the brim. And we'll see you again in the next special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries. Rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.